We have the very wonderful, very charismatic, beautiful Katie Redden Clancy here, who's a British comedian. Her first stand-up gig was headlining The Last Laugh at the Athenaeum Theatre in 2013, obviously here in Melbourne. Katie debuted her one-woman character show, Kate Middleton's Show Queen, at Lubberham for Adelaide Fringe and Red Bennies for Melbourne International Comedy Festival in 2013, which she also wrote and produced. Katie now frequents the London stand-up circuit, and in her first year, she won her London heat and was the semi-finalist in the So You Think You're Funny competition at the Gilded Ballroom, Gilded Balloon in Edinburgh, the Edinburgh Fringe in 2014. Katie's back in Melbourne with her new show, Grace, a topical solo theatre show where she explores the themes of gender, mental health, spiritualism, and the importance of the arts. Welcome, Katie.
Hello. Yay.
Hello, hello, hello. And we were just talking a little bit before the show about how cool it is that you get to say your first gig was at the Athenaeum. Like, excuse me.
I know. Yeah, right around the corner.
I know. Just so amazing. What a great venue. So how did you first get involved with theatre and live comedy?
So it was in the family, really. My grandmother's a theatrical agent and her father was director of Paramount Pictures. And
Wow.
Great Aunt started the Gate Theatre in Ireland. So it was a case of being brought up with all of that going on. And my cousins were on the West End stage. So my my cousin Jackie, she was... Olivia Newton-John did Grease, Sandy in Grease in the film, and she was on the stage. And then her husband, Maynard, was the lead in Starlight Express for... Gosh, I think it was 13, 14 years. So it was, you know, just being brought up by that.
And it's in your blood, basically.
Yeah. And my parents went, for God's sake, try and do anything else and be happy. Because, as we all know, life in the arts is not an easy road. Creativity, like, for that, and emotionally, financially, it's... But it's sometimes it's just in the blood and you just have to get on with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've toured Australia before and you've toured the UK as well. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you, what are the Aussie audiences like in comparison to the Brits? Who's better? Who's better to perform to?
Well, I mean, that's...
Be careful, you're in Australia.
selling tickets. well, to be honest, I haven't done a solo theatre show over in the UK. So okay. I actually probably couldn't do the proper comparison, but I have done a lot of stand-up over there.
Yeah.
And I've just been really... I felt sort of quite honoured, really, by the Aussie audience coming up to me and waiting after I finished the show and being really inspired by it, I suppose is the word, without sounding silly. But a poet, when I first came off Tuxedo Cat, when I opened at Adelaide Fringe, this amazing poet was sitting in the front row. And I could tell he was enjoying it, but he just said, can I just give you a hug after that show?
That is so cute.
And all his friends had all my badges on. And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
They're super cute badges. So if you're listening at home, Katie's wearing like a bunch of super cute badges.
Yes.
Which we're going to text off her later.
Well, she was generous. I've already stolen
a few. You're already wearing them.
I've already stolen a few. Mine say, I blame it on Barbie. And the other one is like a press the, I'm going to say big red button because it says some big boy words we're not supposed to say on air.
I think you need to give the I Blame Barbie one to me. I think you should.
Well, we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
So there's not a direct comparison between Aussies and Brits, but certainly the Aussie crowds have been lovely too.
Yeah, and also because I plugged myself into 16th Street, which is an acting studio over here. And so I met some amazing people all doing the same kind of stuff. And I just couldn't believe how, when I said I'm doing a show, they're like, right, okay, so what do you need? Director, blah, blah, blah. Just do it.
Yeah.
And they didn't sort of bat an eyelid when I said I was going to do my first one woman show. Whereas in England, they're sort of like, okay. So you don't really do a one woman show until you've done like five Edinburghs at like half, and you know, you've done half an hour and you sort of build your way up to it. I think that's a noticeable difference. It's just like, get on and do it. Like, you know, how can I help? And really physically helping you. Like last night I was in St Kilda and just went to Claypots where I used to work for a glass of wine and say,
did you really work there?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And then I started talking about the show and then this guy was like, oh, you must come round and meet the St Kilda Comedy Festival. And then I just walked around and he said, buy me a drink. And they went, do you want to go on? I'm like, oh my God.
Go on, get on stage, be funny.
Yeah, they're just sort of helping me. So I just, that's what I mean. It's just sort of really instant and spontaneous and supportive and no questions asked. No, like, have you been on stage before? Just like, get on and do it.
Yeah.
So,
I'm very grateful for the support.
So speaking about your performing, can you tell us a little bit about your new show? We would love to hear it.
Sure. So it's called Grace. Mm-hmm. It's a solo theatre show with some stand-up comedy. And I cannot believe it, but there's a bit of performance art in there, and I was not planning on this. But there's a monologue, and my director, the amazing Peter Blackburn, he went, "Sorry, babe, but this is going to be performance art," and I was like, "Right, okay." So it's all about a character's first time on stage as a woman, and it's based in a regional theatre where it's haunted, where these creative souls fight to survive.
Very cool.
That sounds really interesting. So I heard that Grace explores the main character Alfie's gender fluidity. Mm-hmm. How did you kind of come up with that concept?
So a dear friend of mine came out as transgender a few years ago, and I was really inspired by the issues that she faced and with the ferocity with which she faced them. Mm. And I really didn't know much about everything, and she was she's a real champion for intersex people, and so she was really telling me all about the history and going back to sort of when Rome made the binary choice, and Hermaphrodite and all these people were sort of really heralded as gods, and then suddenly the binary choice is made. And I just thought how fascinating. So
yeah,
I wanted to be an ally. I wanted to help. And the Stonewall charity, you know, Ian McKellen's charity, had this campaign of stand up and be a great ally and do something. And so I thought, well, what can I do? And I definitely wanted a character to explore their gender in the show.
Yeah. Fantastic. Mm. On that kind of stuff, I know sometimes people feel really nervous getting into that kind of material or worried about how it's going to be received. Have you had things like floating around in your mind about that, or did you have a consultation or speak to your friend about it, or how did you decide to embrace it?
It was very much with a lot of research. And I wanted to know how I could create a character that's obviously authentic. So I had a consultant director who was called Colin Watkes, who's been doing work on gender solo theatre for years, maybe 30 years now. Over in London, so he runs a solo theatre festival over there. So I was speaking to him and speaking to my friend Zora, who's transgender, and then speaking to a lot of the charities and just doing a lot of research and also understanding what's okay for a cisgender actor to do and what's not. So that's sort of approached it with just a lot of sensitivity, really.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. You can't tell right now. You can probably hear it. You can't tell, but I've just been grinning my face off at Katie, because as soon as we hear people say, with lots of research and consultation, it's just so exciting to see and so exciting
to hear. It definitely
is. And good on you. Like, that is just wonderful. Don't shy away from it. Just get your act together and how to do it right. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, fantastic.
It sounds like you definitely are an amazing ally.
Yeah, well, I hope so. To be honest, I thought it was unbelievable that the hate crime and the bullying and everything that's going on at the moment, actual murder, and just for people deciding where they want to stand, but also what is gender, whether we're talking about body or identity or expression. So there's the massive gamut that everyone's sort of now I like to think of it as like a massive sandpit where it's okay for anyone to be in whatever bit you want to be in, and you just sort of can play wherever you want, and you should be able to just be who you are. That's why one of the badges says "you do you." Why should we? I just think there's this fixation in society that want to put us in little boxes, and so we fit some sort of bit of the Excel spreadsheet. It just doesn't work like that.
Work like that.
No,
people are not spreadsheet cells.
No.
So listen, there are other characters, obviously, in your show: Zora, Cheryl, Anna, Audrey, and of course Grace. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Sure. So Zora is Alfie's female alter ego, she's coming out, and she's really excited, sort of trying to find her voice. So they've got the two voices, obviously, Alfie and then Zora, and fighting, because in performance as well, Alfie has played the male alter ego, in the double act with mm-hmm. Grace. And so it's playing with roles. That's why I'm talking about performance, playing with roles and character as well.
Yeah. You're listening to The Gender Agenda on Joy 94.9. You're here with Becca, Esther, Rowan, and our very special guest, Katie Redden-Clancy, who's here talking about her new show, Grace. Katie, I just want to ask you, going back to talking about the show. So we know that it's directed by award-winning Australian Theatre Company director Peter Blackburn. How did this relationship come about?
Peter, so he's an amazing human being that I'm very, very lucky to have found. I was working with 16th Street and, we have a mutual friend and we just became really good friends. And then when I thought of doing the show over here, I just was like, right, no, he's the guy. And we went through a lot together. There's a guy called Larry Moss who comes over and does these amazing masterclasses and people just sit there and cry for like 4 days. But it's actually a really good experience. But it's amazing. It's spiritual, and he talks about, you know, theatre being like the societal and spiritual x-ray of our time, and you know, it's just so deep and amazing, and actors go through a lot, and so I went through a lot with, you know, emotionally and when you sort of look at yourself as an actor and writer, there's so much that you have to sort of look at yourself about, that it's quite cathartic and spiritual, and he's just a very, very safe pair of hands where I feel as if I can really, really open up and explore, you know, who I am as a performer and who these characters are and actually what bits of them are telling myself about myself that I hadn't thought about and all this sort of thing.
Oh my gosh, it sounds like people can really expect just about everything out of Grace, like a bit of stand-up and cool explorations of gender and lots of characters and, of course, your wonderful self. How can people find out more about the show?
So it's on butterflyclub.com is where you can grab some tickets. But obviously I will be giving the Gender Agenda people some double passes.
Amazing.
So obviously tune in next week.
Plugging our show as well.
Yeah. and you can follow me obviously on Instagram and Twitter. I'm KT Redden-Clancy, K to the T, obviously just so down
nice.
With the kids.
Very nice.
The show has a Facebook page called Play Grace, which does what it says in the title. So, yeah, people can find us and follow and like and share and do what they want.
That sounds great. I definitely think I want to come along.
So. I know, absolutely.
I think we will definitely be there.
Are you going to call in sick next week so you can try and win the tickets?
Yeah, I would just put on like a fake voice. And, hello?
I know the answers. Pick me. We should have a cool question or something.
We should. Yeah, we should. We will do that.
Yeah, that sounds
I'll hold
great.
On to that one, but we'll definitely do that.
That sounds good.
So, Katie, we're going to actually go to a bit of a fun segment of our show. Mm-hmm. So, this is a part of our show. It's called 9 Quick Questions in 49 Seconds. So, we're going to ask you some really quick questions and you just got to answer them in 49 seconds.
Don't overthink it.
That's basically it. So, you just have to give like a one-word answer. Short sentence, whatever it might be. So you ready?
Yep.
All right, we're going to go. So, Essie, this is your question.
I know, it's my favourite. Okay, so Katie, do you dance with your head, shoulders, hips or hands?
Ooh, well, it depends. I'm sort of a bit of a stomper and I sort of like, I don't know what that is. So that's me dancing.
That's hands, definitely okay. Hands.
I guess
hands and
a bit
feet.
Of shoulder in there.
Hands and feet.
Yeah.
All right, so what is your favourite summer activity?
Ooh, well, I would have to say drinking.
Good answer.
Drinking fizz.
A bucket
like,
of white
yeah,
wine.
Yeah, in the park or on the beach where you can sort of go and just have a lovely glass of fizz.
Perfect response.
Are you a morning or a night person?
Night person for shizzle. I'm absolutely the theatre person as opposed to film. Yep.
What is your pet peeve?
People that aren't really who you think they are. Mm. You know, that sort of say one
fake
thing.
Fake people.
Yeah, say one thing and then do another and don't give you any answers.
Yeah. Yeah. Two-faced. And it's actually quite ironic given the, I guess, the story of your show.
And the fact that I'm a Gemini as well. Like.
people not me, but like me. No, of course not. How would you describe yourself using just 3 words?
Ooh. Courageous, loyal,
funny.
I'd have to definitely say fun.
And funny.
And funny.
Fun and funny. All right. So if you had to swim in a liquid that is not water, what would you swim in?
Oh, well, can it be like the thermal spa water that you, when you're in Ischia and Capri, because you sort of dive in and then you like go, oh my God, it's like sort of this weird stuff, and then you get out and you can't actually sit in a chair because you just like fall off. You're just like so silky and gorgeous.
It can definitely be one of those.
Yeah, yeah, okay. That sounds kind of amazing. What makes you smile?
Oh, it can be anything. It can just be a moment when a connection, you know, when you sort of, even when someone just smiles across a room, or, you know, an audience member looks at me or something like that, or just when a puppy just comes up to you and gives you a bit of a lick on the hand, or like just the
just
simplest
things.
Of things, it can really make me smile. Or, you know, family, or when it's sort of, I quite like it when you have like an epiphany and you get it, you're suddenly like, yeah, that can
really, that was a good one.
Smile inside. It's like,
but don't smile on the outside, only inside. All right, so if you were a superhero, what would your power be?
Well, there's got to be something to do with, I suppose understanding what people really feel and really think. So you could, there's so much rubbish that goes on, you know, sort of if you work in an office or that sort of thing. People are saying one thing in a meeting and they don't mean anything. And I just think it would be really quite nice to know what they actually thought, because then you could sort of cut to three meetings later when you go, actually,
mental and emotional X-ray. Or
yeah,
something.
I think so. Yeah, that would be good. So people, you're just truthful, and people are authentic, and there's just no hiding behind these personas. And yeah.
So I'm getting the feeling, Katie, you don't like taking crap from people that are fake, pretty much.
Yeah,
I'm kind of getting that. I'm kind of getting that vibe from you, which is good because we didn't like that either.
Yeah, it's not our jam.
All right. So, final question: what are you looking forward to most right now?
Well, I just can't wait to open the show at the Butterfly Club.
Yeah.
You know, it's just such an amazing space. They're so awesome there. And I just can't wait to be in front of Melbourne audiences again. I've got so many people coming along to support me, and I just hope that I do them proud. And I hope they come away, you know, sort of thinking, just them behaving, acting differently. I hope that they sort of go, God, I never thought of that, you know.
Transformative experience.
Yeah, I hope there's just a little moment where they go, whoa, if it wasn't for Grace, you know.
Absolutely. So, look, you mentioned it before, but the show's at the Butterfly Club. When does it open?
Tuesday the 27th. So it's a day before Melbourne Comedy Festival actually starts, because it starts on the Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But it's like a preview, and, so we'll start then. And then it's until Sunday the 1st of April, Easter weekend.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah, we'll definitely be checking it out.
Awesome.
And for you listening at home, make sure you tune in next week, because we're going to be giving away tickets to see Grace, starring Katie Redden Clancy. Thank you so much, Katie. You've been
my
amazing.
Pleasure. Thank you so much.
You've been such a dream.
Oh, thank
Absolutely
you. I've
wonderful.
Really enjoyed it. Thank you.